If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
What's new in your life?
Girl.
Tell us about you.
My hair's fallen out. That's what I'm currently
God
battling.
Damn
God damn it, you guys. I'm not operating at the capacity that I want to be operating in.
Yeah, there's a point where you will hit the wall.
Uh-huh.
Which is why we're not filming together, because I knew I would hit the wall.
Yeah. I also, it's so funny when Morgan was like, hey, like, I don't think, like, I've ran through all the dates. Like, I don't think we're going to be able to get together this month because I'm XYZ. And in my head, I was like, thank God.
Should we read this email?
Begging.
And on a lighter note?
Begging.
To break up or not, please help. And when I got that, I knew it was going to be good.
Uh-oh.
Ugh, prayers up, sister.
Prayers up. Yeah, I don't like that.
That is a tough cookie. Good morning, afternoon, whatever time of day it may be
hey,
when
y'all.
You're listening to your favorite podcast. We are here for you, girls, gays, days, and trade. It is September.
Yes, I made it through another summer. Thank God. Didn't know if I could do
that's it. That's always a fight for you.
It was a battle this summer, too, because we're in like a suspicious drought in Texas. We have not had rain, I think, for over 6 weeks at this point, and it's been over 100 degrees every day. So I'm melting.
Yeah.
I'm melting.
Yeah. Every place that I've been this summer, it's been hotter and hotter and hotter everywhere I go.
Is it fall yet in Colorado?
No. So my grandma and I looked this up the other day because we wanted to get our facts straight, because I always assume it's fall after my birthday. That's like when fall starts in my brain. But it actually doesn't start until September 22nd at 5 p.m. That's when all you bitches know it's officially fall, y'all.
Oh, does it feel like fall? Is it like colder in Colorado yet?
Oh,
or is it
no.
still summer?
It's literally 95 degrees outside today.
Yeah.
There's been a few overcast days and we've been having a lot of rainstorms, but it's not fall. I would say September has always been summer. And a lot of people in Colorado disagree with me heavily. I don't ever remember September being cold.
When I lived in Chicago growing up, like fall would hit maybe like second week of September. That's when like all the leaves started falling and like things started to cool down. But in Texas, it doesn't get cold until like November. So if you go haunted
even
housing,
then it's not freezing.
No. Well, we get like maybe 2 or 3 weeks where there's like a threat of a little snow, which just shuts the whole state down. But I wouldn't say we get like cold where you need a coat until like mid-December or like mid-November, maybe December. So when you go haunted housing, like in Texas, which are really big here. I don't know if you knew that. I guess we have one of like the longest haunted houses in the entire country that is in Texas actually.
Shit.
But you know, like it's like fall vibes and everyone wears sweatshirts and you get like all cute and warm and cozy. In Texas, you can do that, but you will sweat like you've never sweat before in these haunted houses because there's no air conditioning. So I learned that.
And it's hot and people sweating and running around.
Oh, and everyone's like crammed together. Yeah. The smell is the scariest part of any haunted house here.
No, yeah. After August 22nd, I'm putting my UGG boots on and I don't care if it's 95
I've been
degrees. That's always what the platform UGGs for the fifth year in a row are getting whipped out. And that's how it is. And the hottest place I've ever been, I went to Charleston for a bachelorette party. the amount of sweat emulating off of people's bodies. Brooke, I have never seen a place more bumping in my entire life. Like, really? I thought nightlife was dead. Not in Charleston. There are lines around every bar. And everyone is dripping sweat onto each other. Like someone passes you and you get like a whiff of their sweat. Nasty. Nasty as all hell. Number one, I hate bars. Number two, I hate a sweaty bar.
You went clubbing.
I did. And I was very strong and very brave. I was probably the first person to go home every night. There was a group of three of us that would leave at like midnight and the others would stay out till two. But I did have a really fun time other than men passing me with their sweat like dripping off of their forehead.
No. Like they would slide by you because they were so slick.
Yeah, they're little slugs swarming throughout the bar, like just little creatures. And everyone's, it's 100 degrees. Everyone is sickeningly sweaty and stinky. And I tried to talk to one. Well, one guy approached me and everyone was like, yeah, Morgan, get up and talk to this guy. I was like, all right. Hey, how you doing? The first thing he told me, Brooke, words to come out of this guy's mouth. I own 4 Bitcoins. What about you?
Don't
I literally looked at him with the blankest face, the blankest stare that you've ever seen from me. And I did not respond to his statement. Hi, my name's George. I own 4 Bitcoins. What about you? I literally turned, walked the other way and said, the bar is not for me.
I got to go home.
I faked it to the best of my abilities, though.
And I know
you would have been proud.
I cannot even believe you stepped foot in one of those establishments. That's growth. 29, yeah. Girl. That's gross.
29. So, okay. The last one I went to was for your bachelorette party, the Greenlight Social.
Good Lord.
I will go for a bachelorette party to the club just for the people that I love. It's an exclusive outing.
Wow. Once in a lifetime experience. So for the people, I think this is the longest we've gone without seeing each other in quite some time.
Yeah, 100%. Like, probably we didn't even address the elephant in the room. I'm at my house and you're...
Surprise! Oh,
it's like getting a divorce. I'm at my house and you're at your house.
I don't know if any of you guys recognized it, clocked it even. We're not in the same room. And this is different for us. We are having arguably the busiest couple weeks of our lives simultaneously. And we could not find a singular date that we could overlap where we could sit in one room to film. So we are deciding that this is our FaceTime catch up. This is a FaceTime catch up.
The official FaceTime catch-up of the century. But I am kind of excited for this because my problem always is, like, our episode that went up last week was the swig taste test. But we went to Utah, 6 weeks ago?
Yes, it was forever ago.
So things get so far behind in my mind. And I started watching the footage back after Skylar, our wonderful editor, sent it back to me. I'm like, damn, how are we still in Utah?
Yeah.
Because that's, like, so far removed from my brain. So I think it'll be nice to have, like, a weekly catch-up for a few weeks.
I'm excited.
That actually are things happening in real time as we go.
But I'm excited
because once we get to the third episode of filming, my brain's a little deep fried.
Well, I think it's kind of nice too, because we get into our own routines when we're like at home. And so when we do reunite, it is such sleepover vibes. So I think it'll be fun. But I have not gotten to catch up with you in freaking so long. So let's run through it. So you go on the bachelorette trip. It was fun. Someone approaches you about a Bitcoin, which is honestly heinous.
Barf.
Like barf, barf. And then
I've been a lot of places this summer that I've never been before, which is exciting. I went to Knoxville. I went to Charleston. We went to Salt Lake, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then we went to California for my birthday, which was really wholesome and fun.
Okay. Yeah. So how was your birthday? How does 29 feel?
The same as 28. Except I see my tech neck getting deeper and deeper every damn day. I'm going to get my laser next week because it's incriminating. My tech neck is incriminating because you can look at someone and say, oh my God, they spend way too much time on their phone on their couch by the tech neck. And I have it clinically.
I am posting a South of France family vlog this week.
Ooh,
and I'm really excited about it. It's a doozy. It's like over 50 minutes. And I don't know how we ended up with so much footage, but we did. And so it's like it's a family vlog. And Jacob kept filming me throughout like the trip. Any angle of me from my side profile I'm going to get one of those those like neck adjusters that forces my neck to stay upright. Humbled. Humbled is an understatement. If y'all want to know how you're looking to the outside world, start filming yourself. Start filming yourself out in public, because you'll realize real quick things about you. Like, you'll see yourself from angles where you're like, oh, that might need to be something I need to address. So mine is the curvature of my spine.
It's very humbling. Because I've had the same thought so many times that I look like I sit as though I'm a question mark. And I got the form sports bra that Taylor Swift used training for her tour that's supposed to fix your shoulder posture.
Wait.
And I don't know I about have to this. Say it is really painful, but I've only worn it once. Because it really shocks you back into place. Should I wear it? Yeah, I
was
should,
on TikTok Shop, and TikTok Shop has been trying really hard to influence me to buy this like shoulder correct, where it's like basically like a vest that forces your shoulders back.
Oh, I need that, and I need it bad.
And unfortunately, you know what has helped me the most with my posture, and this just, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Pilates, when I was doing it consistently, got me sitting upright, but I haven't done it in like a year. So unfortunately, after going through this,
you
gotta
get back in there, girl.
I know you've been working out again.
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
Yeah, I've been on my back healing journey, as we know. And after a few acupuncture sessions, I was finally feeling good enough. I'm back on my whole workout scheme again.
What are you doing?
I've been doing Pilates, and this week I went back to Rumble Boxing for the first time in like a year, because I've been too afraid. Because you never know. You don't want to have a back spasm in the middle of something like that. But I've been feeling more and more confident as the weeks go on. Whatever she does to my back, I have no idea, but it really does work.
Really?
She sticks the acupuncture in my spine. I don't know if I've talked about this at all the podcast. Hurt?
Well, the last time we told the podcast, you would like just gotten it done one time, I think. Like, we haven't gone through it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on session 5 now. And what she does is she'll go through your feet and then up your calves. And then that feels fine. It just feels kind of like a little pinch, but nothing. It's not like getting a shot, because the needles are so small. They're literally the size of a hair. Once she gets into my back, she'll kind of like massage around and feel where it's tight. And then she'll stick. It's crazy because she can tell the part of my back that's injured, which is really weird because I obviously can't, because I can't feel my spine like that. But she can say, oh, this disc is out of whack because of this. And then she'll stick the needles where my spasms come from. And then my back will involuntarily start spasming underneath her. But I guess that's how you know that you're getting it in the right place. Because the idea, it sounds very woo-woo. And as we know, I've never been a woo-woo girl, but the idea is that it gets blood flowing to the places where your blood needs to heal you.
Because circulation can be like a primary cause of a lot of issues, like inflammation and all that stuff. Like, if you get your circulation moving, then that makes sense. So it doesn't like hurt.
On my back, I would say it's like a 6 out of 10. Dang. When it's spasming, because it's kind of like, you have to make it worse to make it better.
Right.
Then she'll put, I don't know if you've ever done cupping. I'm sure your husband has.
He has.
She'll
put
the cups over the acupuncture needles. Don't know what it does, but I feel really good. Haven't had a back spasm in 3 weeks.
Shut up.
I have a little calendar.
That's good.
I'm on
Morgan.
The up and up. Yeah, I'm on the up and up. I've been acupuncturing. I've been reading. I've read 5 books in the last month.
Shut up. Oh, she's
back. That's
what
I do before I go to bed.
She's before bed.
Out.
Who is she? Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been doing. I've had a full life reset.
Damn.
I think my family was getting a little worried about me, and they were like, you need to take a day. And I've had a full life reset.
I love that.
What have you been up to?
Girl, so much. So much.
How's your life as a vlogger?
I'm having so much fun. Being on the other side of vlogging, obviously, like, for as long as we've been friends, you've been vlogging. And so I've seen what the life is behind the scenes, but living it is a whole other thing. I have such an appreciation for what you do. Not that I didn't before, but it's so crazy how quickly everything builds up. Cause like you accept, like, so basically like I had all this footage that, because Skylar edits for my vlogs as well. So she edits our podcast and then also edits my vlogs. And so her and I kind of work together, and we like we'll go back and forth on edits for vlogs and whatnot. And it's been so fun. Like my sisters were just in my last vlog. Like, you know, I'm kind of slowly introducing people more and more to my world. But dang, that workflow gets built up real quick. So I've got like a video coming out every single week for the next like 5 weeks. Because I accidentally took on a lot of commitments on brand deals. And I was like, oh, like that really kind of, I won't do that again. Like that really is getting stressful pretty quick. But I'm having a ridiculously fun time. Spent a lot of time just kind of editing and going through it, like the footage and stuff. But it's really, I've gotten like seen a lot of comments about people considering doing their own vlogs and their own videos. And like just from like people who watch our podcast or people who like comment on like my videos. And I will say it is so fun reliving moments that you lived through like watching your vlogs back. It's something that I didn't think I would appreciate as much as I do. Like I had like footage from a trip to Singapore I did last year that I'm putting into like a vlog that's going to come out later this month. And it's like stuff I like forgot about, but I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun. It's really enriched my life in ways that I didn't even know I needed. So it's been really good. It's been really good.
Yeah. The beauty of vlogging, it is very fun and very exciting. And then you get really excited and you start saying yes to everything because it feels like an honor, you know, when this brand's like, I want to work with you. And you're like, okay, I can make it work. And then you get to the week where you need to make it work. And you're like, oh my God. Ah,
yeah. It's but like, it's you're all in my brain. Like,
it's good stress, but things can pile up faster than you realize.
Well, like,
and I get myself into that a lot where I'm like, oh no, like this month I was like, oh no, I got too excited. And I said yes to way too many things.
And it's a learning curve. And luckily I have enough like things filmed, like backlog, that it's going to be okay. But I was like, oh, I'm not going to do that again. Like I got way too excited and I said yes to so many things, but it's all good stuff. I'm like excited for, I went to the south of France on like a trip earlier this summer and with my family for my dad's birthday. And so I'm excited to kind of put that out and introduce y'all to the whole crew.
Oh, it's Chris and Dace hitting the tube.
Yes, they're on the tube. Dude,
I would love if I could come to Dallas. As soon as we got on FaceTime, I'm like, so I'm coming to immerse myself in the Barry universe next month. I invited myself. I would love all of us, well, all of your family plus me, Barry plus one, to go to a haunted house together.
Done.
Because you told me that was your dad's shtick when you were growing up.
Growing up, every single year, my dad would pile as many people as he could fit, as many girls as he could fit. Because with four daughters, if one person brings two friends, all of a sudden you've got eight girls, you know, like it's,
wait, did I do that math correctly?
I don't think I did that math.
Yeah. Every daughter and a plus one.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
You guys need a damn bus, a double decker Barry bus.
No, we would have like the extended like SUV and then we would have like my mom drive a car and we'd get so many people. And my dad would take like a gaggle of like up to like 10 like middle school girls, like holding down the fort, leading us through the haunted houses every year without fail. And Illinois has some scary, scary haunted houses. Like there was one that we used to go to in a town called Elgin, Illinois, that had this crematorium. So it was like where they would like cremate bodies back. And it was old. I think it was like over 100 years old. And it was not condemned, but like pretty close. Like it was really decrepit. But they built a haunted house called, I think it was called Evil Intentions. The building itself was like a hazard on all fronts, which made it like scary in and of itself. But it is the most vivid memories. My dad still does it. My dad still leads us through haunted houses. So you have to come, actually. Oh, it'll be so fun.
I would love nothing. It's on my bucket list of my life to go to a haunted house with Chris Berry.
Sold. He would be honored. He would be
one of the seven wonders of my world that I want to see.
I would love nothing more.
If your current nighttime routine is lying in bed, scrolling TikTok until your eyes physically cannot stay open anymore, I have a much more interesting option for you. Dipsy is the number one app for erotic audio stories created by women for everyone. They have a library of over 1,000 stories written by professional writers with full casts and professional sound design. So these aren't just someone reading you a story. They're designed to completely immerse you in it. And whatever you're into, there is probably a story for it. You can filter by trope, spiciness, who you're into, and what you're into, and new stories come out every single week. The stories are short enough to fit into whenever you need a little moment to yourself, and there's even a sleep timer if you want to listen while you're winding down for bed. Dipsy is also designed to be a safe space to explore your desires with stories that thoughtfully depict love and intimacy in empowering ways. And right now, Dipsy is giving our listeners their first week free and then 25% off after that when you sign up at dipsystories.com/hearmeout. This is an exclusive offer for our podcast listeners. Go to dipsystories.com/hearmeout for your first week free and then 25% off. That's dipsystories.com/hearmeout. Yeah. On top of having sisters, did you watch Earl Meets World?
I have not yet. The clips I've seen, it's so funny too, because like doing that video with my sisters, there was a lot of comments being like, oh my gosh, you guys are like the Kardashians. And I think like if you see a sister dynamic, if you've seen one, you've seen them all. Like if you have more than two sisters and there's like an oldest, middle, and a youngest, and you have that dynamic, it's so funny how everyone kind of really does fulfill those roles. And what I've seen of the Earl show is it's very similar, where it's like, oh, like it, the sister dynamics, they're consistent, I think.
Yes, they are consistent. I will say I watched the entire thing in one sitting and I loved every second of it. Because on top of them being sisters and showing like their very raw sister moments,
yeah,
which I've never had, so I love to live vicariously through people like that. They also have the blended family situation, and they're very open about like the dad cheating on the mom and how the two moms are intertwined with each other, and how the stepmom that had the affair with the dad, how they interact with the real mom because they still all get together to have a good time.
Dang.
For somebody that's so popular, I could not believe how much they were willing to put on the internet about themselves. Like, I think it was, I know people will be like, she's just a rich white girl that has plastic surgery, but I think it was very admirable how much they put out there.
Because
she does the whole breakup thing. The blended family thing, I think, is what kind of separates them from, because that's like similar thing. They're like, you guys are like the new Kardashians. But I think there's a deeper level of like, they have like their own twist on the drama of the whole affair with the mom and the dad, which was a public scandal in their town. And we all know that I was invested in this a long time ago. She did address Alex Cooper.
Okay, so I did see that clip and I was floored by that also, because I think that she was finally able to articulate things that she's kind of like hinted towards, or like, because remember we talked about it like when we did the SIP episode where like we had like bits and pieces of the story, but I think this is the first time that she's like really sat down and really delved into the whole, her whole perspective on it. And I don't know, I feel like she made a lot of sense. How did you feel on it?
If you watched the whole, because it was kind of a whole episode storyline, and maybe this is only relatable to like people that are, have been on the internet with their family for a long time, because we've had a lot of similar things where everybody has to come together and be like, this horrible thing happened, what do we do next?
Yeah.
But instead of her just sitting down and saying, this is why I don't like Alex Cooper, you see like her talking to her sister about her perspective, and her talking to her mom and her dad, and her figuring out like, what do I say? Am I being forced to say something? Like, you kind of see her whole
progression.
Journey of like, what do I even do about this? Because she kind of backed me into a corner of saying, I have to say something when I didn't really want to say something. So it's a very interesting perspective to see, like, when something scandalous happens in a family, like what actually go, maybe I felt seen by that. And maybe that's a niche perspective.
But I think even like, if there's things that happen even like in people's lives, like not on camera or not like public figure wise, like even in my own family, like when one sister's going through something, like my husband jokingly calls it the war room, because like our sister group chat immediately gets on a FaceTime and we're immediately working through things. And I think it is cool to see like how universal that experience can be when you have such a tight family. And not everyone like is blessed with that, which is sad, but it can be quite a force to have a lot of people put their heads together.
Yeah, it was a good watch. I know you don't love like that type of TV, but it was, I would say it was a good watch for me.
No, I have been meaning, I want to watch that. And then I have not had the nerve to watch the Love Island reunion yet. I haven't.
That was also insane.
I haven't.
Me glued to my TV.
Girl, I have to psych myself up to watch it. My husband's going to be away this weekend. So I'm thinking of just, I'll binge the Earl show. I'll binge the reunion, because the clips I saw on TikTok scared me away. I was so excited for it. And then I saw clips of like Soul acting a fool. And I was like, oh God, I don't know if I can, I gotta really like center myself before I get through this.
These and, like, damn reunions.
And like,
yeah,
Kato
everyone
was acting a fool.
Was on edge.
Yeah, like everyone was kind of just doing a lot.
It was a hard, I had to watch it in three separate settings, because sometimes you really have to, you're like, this is too much drama for my little brain. I need to take a moment, take a lap and come back to this.
Yeah.
I just can't even imagine, because it's kind of the same as the Big Brother house. Like when they're in the villa, they have no idea what is happening on the outside world and how they're being perceived. Where as something like YouTube or TikTok, you can post something and 5 minutes later know if people liked it or not.
Right, instant.
So these people come out to like being bombarded with people's opinions, good or bad. And I have empathy for all of them, because you really don't know what people are going to think. You don't know what moments they're going to put in. I've heard the editors are brutal, and sometimes they'll mix up moments
to
make it look like something that it wasn't. So it's sort of incriminating. Ooh, reality TV is very scary.
I think we got such a... Love Island in and of itself is such a fascinating concept to me, because when they're in the villa, you take people who have no presence necessarily on social media or like a following or like influence, if you will, because they're just normal people for the most part, right? And then you put them in this social experiment, essentially.
That's literally what it has to be identified as.
It's like
experiment.
A social experiment where you are filming them 24/7. You're putting them in extreme situations that would just not be replicated in a normal setting. And I feel like you get to see genuinely people's true selves. Like whether they like it or not, I think because the show happens over such an extended period of time, and because it is these exacerbated moments caught on camera, I really think you're getting people's like authentic selves. Like even if people try and fake it, your real, like the truth comes out eventually, right? Like Sincere is a great example of it. Like whether he wanted to or not, you got to see his manipulative ways like play out, whether he wanted to or not. Or even like Bryce, right? I think like Bryce went in with this kind of like cool guy persona in the first like two episodes that I think really threw us off. But then
hated him episode two.
Because there was this weird like cool guy persona that he like went in with, right? Like we all do. We go in with these like guards up and whatever. But then by the end of the show, his true like lover boy, so emotionally intelligent, like his true self came out for the better. So I think it can go either way. But what I think is so interesting, because this is my first time watching the show, like I didn't quite know what to expect. What has been so fascinating is the social experiment that happens after the villa when they leave and all of a sudden these normal people have obscene amounts of influence and relevance and this new value system put on them, and how they maneuver that with their ego. Because that was the biggest thing that I saw criticism on of like the core four, with like Kata specifically, on how like, it's not that she's a bad person. It's not that she's like I like Kata a lot and liked her a lot throughout the show. I thought she was probably one of my favorites. But there's a lot of critique on her on how her ego has been influenced post Villa and how it's like maybe exacerbating parts of her personality that, like, I don't know. It's just interesting to see how it's kind of like shaped how she acts outside of the villa.
Right.
So it is interesting to see, because like I think Trinity and Bryce, I cannot get over how well they're handling themselves. But I think that they were like so true to themselves throughout the whole thing.
Well, yeah, and I think that they were just received in a positive way.
Right.
Because I think the other thing that maybe people don't understand unless they've been through something similar, if you come out of a situation, okay, say you're Kata and you're working at a restaurant serving people chips, and then you come out and everyone's morally correcting you and wanting you to be their role model and their morally correct person and their role, like they suddenly give you this complex of you need to be the person that we want you to be. Mm-hmm. And then coming out of a house after what, 3-4 months and seeing nothing but heinous, mean things about yourself. Yeah. Like, of course you're going to be defensive and of course you're going to feel like everything that you're saying is wrong and doing is wrong. So then I think her psychologically, you have to go into like a defensive mode to be like, well, everything I'm going to say is being twisted in a way because people already have made up their minds.
And there was like criticism.
So I can't imagine like coming out of a house and seeing headline after headline being like, this person's a narcissist, this person's emotionally unstable. Right. And you don't get any control over that. Like, I would give them grace to be like, of course they're going to be defensive and on edge. Like, they went from normal lives to now you want them to be morally correct and
well, and there's
role
something
model.
To be said too. Like, there's a lot of criticism that was like, oh, like, you know, you could tell Kata's not media trained, or you could tell.
Well, yeah,
you
no
could tell
shit.
Sol's like a PR nightmare. Like, I'm just
didn't
throwing
she
out.
Work at fucking Chili's?
Yeah, I'm like, just throwing out generalities.
Of course, she's not PR trained.
And that's the funny thing is, I'm like, well, they haven't been in this industry since they were teenagers. They haven't been like groomed and polished before they get in the villa. Like, the thing that people are looking for is rawness and realness when they're in the villa. And then all of a sudden they come out of the villa and they're expected to be media trained, polished, like perfect people. And I just think it is interesting. Like, the, I don't know, the standard that all of a sudden, because you have 2 million followers, you're expected to just like know exactly how to maneuver things. Cause if you think about it, they've only been outside of the villa, what, like a month, 2 months? Like, it's pretty new.
Yeah. One of my internet pet peeves, I would say, is when people automatically want other people to be a role model. Mm. And they're like, you're a terrible role model on children. It's like, they didn't sign up to be your role model. If you don't want your kids watching it, then don't let your kids have access to these things. Like, no one goes on Love Island because they're a role model or a morally perfect person.
No.
That's my personal thing, is everyone's like, even Alex Cooper, people are like, you're a terrible role model. And it's like, yeah, she started a show about the Gluck Gluck 3000. Yeah. She didn't sign up to be anyone's role model.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
But
I do agree with that. I think, too, there's something to be said. Like, if you're positioning yourself, like if you have a advice podcast where you are sitting down and you're giving so much advice and then you get caught in a scandal where you're just being unethical or just not, you're taking advantage of people or whatever, that's something where I think the criticism is so valid, because they're positioning themselves, they're signing up to be under that lens of criticism, I think, or like at least to be held to a certain standard. Because like, if you're going to sit on a platform and tell people all about the things that they should be doing with their lives when you're not yourself kind of living appropriately, I think that's valid. But yeah, holding someone from Love Island on the moral high ground, the ethical high ground, is very, I think you're going to set yourself up for disappointment there.
They literally signed up to do soft porn in a bikini. Like, come on.
No, oh my gosh. That like killed
me. It is going to be a good, here's the thing. September, number one, the best month for the TV girls. Me, TV girl. There's going to be Dancing with the Stars. There's going to be Traitors. There's going to be New Mormon Wives. There's hopefully going to be OC Wives, like end of Big Brother. But people watch these shows for the mess.
Yeah.
Like, if you created a show and you were like, okay, let's bring morally perfect and correct people who have very good values and very good emotional intelligence. Let's put them all on a dating show. Literally zero people would watch.
Yeah. Speaking of.
No one would watch.
How are you feeling about the new season of Mormon Wives?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Are you?
Here's the thing. I watch TV to be entertained. I don't watch TV to criticize like who's doing what. I'm watching while I'm eating my dinner and being like, wow, this is nuts. But I don't think watching necessarily means that you align or agree with everything they're doing or saying.
You are,
I'm watching purely for entertainment.
Yeah, you are a really neutral viewer, I would say. Like even when we watched like Mormon Wives together, like you never really had a strong opinion on anyone either way. You really go into things pretty neutral, I would say. Whereas like I'm watching and
well,
I'm like,
yeah,
so opinionated. I'm like, I don't agree with that. Like, I don't like that. But you don't really do that.
I'm watching for the fun of it.
Yeah, I really don't know if I'm going to watch this next season of Mormon Wives.
My ass will be sat day one. I will be there at 12:59 PT, baby.
Yeah, after like everything fell apart online so publicly, I'm so surprised that Taylor is like so front and center in this season, it looks like. So I'm excited to see how it plays out. I really don't know.
Yeah, I think that's like, I think a lot of people, if you are watching, that means you are agreeing with their behavior. I'm not agreeing with their behavior. I'm watching for the mess of it.
Yeah. You're watching because you're nosy.
But
you want to know.
I want to know. I want to be entertained. So, but I think everyone reacts differently to things.
Yeah. I also think it impacts people differently. Like you've talked about it a lot, your cortisol lowering journey. I need to go on that so bad. I'm trying so hard to lower my cortisol, and I'm finding that highly contentious, like I went recently, like over the last couple of weeks, I've started watching a lot of like body cam footage, true crime, like,
oh, my mom watches that.
And
spooky.
I find them so fascinating. And I find myself kind of like drawn to like the drama of it all and like the realness and rawness of like this footage. But I'm realizing that maybe it's stressing me out and I don't even know it's stressing me out. Like kind of like I saw this whole thing about how when you're relaxing, you need to like really consciously relax, and that like doom scrolling or scrolling on TikTok doesn't count as relaxing because your brain is still highly engaged. And I was kind of thinking about reality. That's, I think, part of the reason why I haven't watched the Love Island reunion, because from what I've seen, it's a lot of like kind of intense, dramatic conflict and like contentious moments between people that like when you were watching the show, you're like, they're friends and they're besties and like they're girls, like supporting girls. And then the reunion's just kind of maybe not like that all the time. And so I'm realizing that maybe I need to be a little in this season right now, be a little like more careful with what I'm watching, because I'm thinking I'm stressing myself out without even realizing I'm stressing myself out.
Yeah, you very much could be. I had to stop watching true crime because then I'll have nightmares that someone's going to come into my house and tell me. So I think people just react to things differently.
Yeah.
But whatever you're entertained by, like, I don't think there's a right or wrong.
And you know that's fish
documentaries. I really think you should try reading, though. I think you would like it.
I need to get back into it.
I like to read before bed because it's very low risk. Like, it's not a story that's real.
Yeah.
It's not going to impact you or anybody you know. I love it.
I really want to get into... I tried A Court of Thorn and Roses. I'm putting her down.
I'm reading that right now.
Are you?
Funny enough, for my birthday, me, my mom, my grandma, and my dad will do a rotation. This really is going to make me sound like an old lady, but we'll all rotate books and puzzles around
Fun.
The circle.
Fun.
And my Aunt Susie started reading ACOTAR is what the acronym
cool kids.
Is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what the cool kids are saying. And then she is now on the third one, but my grandma read the first one, which as soon as the wolf turned into a fairy, I was thinking, I don't know how grandma was knowing what the going on. I'm halfway through the first one, but I'm not a fantasy girl. I am a thriller girl. I like to read about people murdering their husbands
because
it's not real. But I am enjoying the first one.
I
was thinking about you. I was going to tell you that I thought you would like it.
Because
you're like a fantasy queen.
And I love it. I've tried maybe, I'm not exaggerating, 4 times now to read the book. And anytime I bring this up, everyone's like, you just got to get through the first one. And I keep trying to get through the first one, but they keep losing me. Like they get to the castle and I need to get through it. But I'm putting that on hold.
You do paperback or like Kindle?
I've done both because I thought that maybe the Kindle was throwing me off. And so I got the paperback, but you know what I want to try next is to get me maybe more into it is Fourth Wing. Have you heard of Fourth Wing?
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
I haven't read it, but I've heard of it.
It's the same, but different. And it's like dragon riders. So I'm thinking about giving Fourth Wing a
you
try.
Would love that.
I'm going to try. I do think I need to start reading again. I've been watching a lot more documentaries, which has been better for my brain. Because
yeah, that is good too. Like real information. It's hard. I'm not a physical book girl.
Are you like a Kindle girl?
I literally have the Kindle app on my phone, and I just every time I'm bored, I doop 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 doop.
Jacob does that too.
Because I think your first instinct is to. I'm an Instagram reel grandma, as we know, but I'll start scrolling on Instagram reels in the middle of the night or right before I go to bed, and now I'm like. No, just open your Kindle app and it's the same maneuver with your finger. So it's kind of the same impact. But
no, I think that's so much better.
It helps put me to sleep. And I like to do Kindle and audiobook so I can go back and forth between listening and reading. Because when I fall asleep, I like to put on a sleep timer and fall asleep.
Really? And then it just goes, you fall asleep at some point and you just kind of like rewind to where you fell asleep.
Yeah, my mom and I are routine when we are in California together because we typically are listening to the same book or we'll like trade and we will put a 15-minute sleep timer and we'll both put our corded headphones in and we'll fall asleep together listening to our books.
Cute. You guys are
at home. I don't use the headphones,
cute. How is your mom? What's up? What's up with Vicky?
Oh, she is better than ever.
Really?
She's living, laughing, loving. We're going to film a video with her today. She wants to go to Dairy Queen and get all of the pumpkin blizzards. You guys know I am not the biggest sports person on planet Earth, but I've actually been playing around on Prize Picks recently, and I totally understand the appeal now because it gives me something specific to follow while I'm watching. Prize Picks is daily fantasy, and it's super simple. You can pick more or less on 2 to 6 player projections, submit your lineup, and then follow your picks right in the app. So even if you're someone like me who doesn't know every single player or every single thing that's happening in sports, it gives you a reason to actually pay attention when your friends are watching and have a rooting interest while your dad is screaming at the TV. And football preseason is officially here, which is honestly the perfect time to get into it because there are star players on new teams, rookies coming in, and so much happening before the season really gets going. You can make a lineup with player stats and combine all of your picks in the same lineup. And one thing I really like is that Prize Picks is now available in all 50 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida. So if you want a fun and simple way to make watching sports a little more exciting, I genuinely understand why people love this now. And I have heard through the grapevine that they actually have a culture tab where you can create lineups on reality TV shows. Now that is for me. Download the app today and use code HEARMEOUT to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Again, you can download the app today and use code HEARMEOUT to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. What's new in your life? Tell us about you.
My hair's fallen out. That's what I'm currently battling. God damn it, you guys. Yeah, my hormones are all out of whack. Letting the record show now, I'm not pregnant. The last time I said that, everyone was commenting, calling it now, Brooke's pregnant. Hey!
I did see that.
Hey.
I've been back in the comments.
Hey, I was just on my period. But no, I'm battling my hormones right now. Don't quite know what's going on. But what's new for me is all of my hair is falling out and I don't know why. I go like this and it's just like threads of hair and it's not like I might be being a little dramatic about it, but I'm on kind of a health kick right now of trying to get my body balanced again, because I think high stress levels and just kind of generally not taking care of myself has finally caught up with me. Shocker, maybe traveling every single month for the last year of my life multiple times may have been a little excessive.
I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
And I'm gearing up because I'm going to be traveling the entire month of November. The entire month of November. Ooh. So I have like two trips coming up in October, and then I'm going on a absolute world tour in November to three different countries over the span of 3.5 weeks. So I need
to- Oh, you're going to Tokyo, right?
I'm going to Japan, and then we're doing a layover in Abu Dhabi for 48 hours.
Oh, you told me about
which
that.
Is and so I was like, random. Is that? But basically, Jacob and I learned, sorry, if I keep touching this, it's because I have tiny little ears and these AirPods keep falling out of my ears. Apologies. But no, we found this thing where if you are flying internationally on one of, like on certain airlines, they do these like layover, like I guess it's called like an extended layover, where basically the airline pays for a hotel room for you for like up to 48 hours at like a really nice hotel.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And it's to get tourism up in certain places. But yeah, we're going to Rome after Japan to meet some family friends there. But we're stopping in Abu Dhabi on this like layover thing. This is a deep cut. No one's going to care. But they have.
I care.
Thank you. They have, I think it's the world's largest like aquarium tank situation. It is an aquarium like out
That's
of
perfect for our zoo girl.
A like different world. But this specific aquarium, Morgan, picture this. Picture this. I'm going to be getting in a special like underwater suit and walking the bottom of this fish tank.
I hope that Jacob is walking this walk with you following with a GoPro.
Jacob said he's going to be on the outside of the tank filming me the entire time. Because
okay, that works. But I'm requesting that you take the GoPro in with you as
well.
Oh,
I am. There's a special video package.
This is perfect for our fish girl.
Aquarium tour coming soon. So unbelievably excited about it, because apparently you walk the bottom of this tank and like there's like a, it's like a whole thing, but I'm going to be participating in that. And I'm just gearing up, but I'm trying to get my health in order first, because something's awry and I got to get her back on track.
Have you gotten like blood labs done?
That is in the works.
I would start there, because when I went to the doctor and I told her that I was feeling like I wanted to rip my head off of my body, she then did my blood work for me and told me all of the things that I have been deficient in.
Oh, nice.
And then as soon as I started supplementing those specific things, I now feel 100% better. Not 100%, but I feel a lot better, like physically and mentally. But it's hard to just know, right? Because the more internet you watch, the more people are like, you need this and you need this and you need this and this will level this.
Oh,
but really the best way to know exactly what you need is seeing what you're deficient in.
Yeah.
And then need, because if you're just taking something that you already have a surplus in your body, it's just a waste of money. You're going to piss it right out.
Especially when you're on like a fertility journey like I am right now. It is so wild how many people have so many varying opinions on you need this and you need that and this is the trick and this is the it is the word supplement is a buzzword for me in this house right now.
A buzzword. Yeah. And there's really no right answer, right? Because the supplements that your sister take could make you feel like a crazy raged person.
Yeah.
So I would highly recommend
you have
going
to
your primary care.
So consistent with them. Like I was doing really good on all of them. And then I went out of town, ran out of my supplements for like a month, like just kept putting it off, like ordering them. And then I blink and all of a sudden like a month and a half went by where I didn't take my supplements. And then my hair started falling out. And I was like, ew, like I maybe needed those. Like I maybe that wasn't placebo and I maybe need to take those more. But that's kind of the main thing that I've been focused on the last couple of weeks, is just kind of getting myself back in order. Because you know how it is. Like, you kind of like, I think you and I were both on a similar thing where we were going through the motions so rapidly that we kind of, at least for me, I hit a point where I was like, oh, I need to check in with myself. Like, I need to start shuffling some things around because I'm not operating at the capacity that I want to be operating in.
Yeah, there's a point where you will hit the wall, which is why we're not filming together, because I knew I would hit the wall.
Yeah. I also, it's so funny when Morgan was like, hey, like, I don't think, like, I've ran through all the dates. Like, I don't think we're going to be able to get together this month because I'm XYZ. And in my head, I was like, thank God. Thank God. Oh, because
my mom and I were nervous. We're like, oh, we know she loves coming to film and we're going to make her so sad.
No, I was like, thank God.
I was happy that you took that well.
God, yeah. I'm really genuinely very flexible. But I was also happy because I feel like I need to get my ducks in a row also. Which,
yeah, and I think September always brings that out of me too. Yeah. Like, I want to get rid of things. I want to clean things.
Yeah. I need to decorate for Halloween, and then I think everything will be okay in my world, which we also haven't addressed.
That's 100% true.
Yeah. We haven't addressed the second elephant in the room, which is our outfits.
OMG. Brooke got us these. When we went to Utah, Brooke gave us in advance Halloween pajamas, and Aerie does Halloween like nobody else.
Aerie, if you're here with us, I love Aerie so effing much. It's not even funny. They are criminally underrated, in my opinion. I think that their pajamas specifically and their loungewear is goated, and their Halloween stuff this year are so effing cute. Not sponsored at
Dare
all.
Dare I say I might get the blue ones too.
Which blue ones?
Remember, you sent me the link. There's blue ones that's the same fabric in the shorts.
Yes.
And I think they're, you might have to get those too.
Yes. And they have really
the fabric
cute.
Is good.
They have I got a ghost claw clip. And you also, just a little sneak peek, you also have something coming in the mail with you because I couldn't help coming in the mail to you soon.
Dude, Brooke gave me the most beautifully wrapped birthday gift and I still haven't opened it. It's sitting on my dining room table because when we were together last, right before Brooke had to go to the airport, my whole family was kind of there, or my cousin or whatever.
Yeah.
This is not the time to open the birthday gift, so just take it home with you. But I hate opening gifts when people aren't with me. So I was like, I'll wait until she comes this month, but maybe we'll open it after we're done with you on FaceTime. Because I hate to open things when people aren't there.
No, and I honestly was so...
It's been haunting me.
Has it been? Are you excited?
Well, because I'm like, I want to open it so bad, but I don't know when I'm going to see her. I see it every day sitting on my dining room table. And I'm like, I want to open it.
I think that this is my best work. I think it's my best gifting work I've ever done, in my humble opinion.
The wrapping is beautiful. Everyone in my family is like, what's with the luxurious gift sitting on the table? On the table. I'm like,
don't worry about it.
I'm waiting for Brooke to come back so I can open it with her.
Well, speaking of Halloween and the spooky season, what are your goals for this upcoming Halloween season? I'm going to Halloween max this year, personally, I've decided. Intentional, spooky, not scary, because again, lowering the cortisol levels right now, but Halloween TV, the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody Halloween specials, check. Those will be featured in my home. You know what slept on? The Phineas and Ferb Halloween specials. Those are also so good. Don't sleep on those. But an intentional Halloween feature film night, once a week.
Ooh, I'll have to get back to you on my list. I haven't made a list yet.
Think about it because
I haven't made my Halloween goals yet.
Mm-hmm. I did not feel like we did Pottoween last year.
We maxed out last year.
And so
for the next 5 years of my life,
we kind of burned ourselves out because we started in August. Pretty much, and did so much that by the second week of September, I felt like I had lived enough Halloween for 3 years because we did so much Halloween spirited things. But this year, I want a Halloween max. I think it's important.
Well, hopefully I'll get to come to Dallas and hopefully we can go to a few spooky locations.
That's
for
a
October.
Must. That's an absolute must. There is a...
I left my October wide open for you. So whatever you want to do in October, I'll be there with you.
You're flirting with me. It's working. Mm-hmm. It's working. Well, if you guys... I'll be in the comments. And if you guys have any ideas on what we can do to Halloween max this year, together and or separate, let us know. Or email us. We're back in the email.
Yes. Oh, speaking of, I had an email for us to read. HMOofficialpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to start emailing us, we will start reading your advice again. We haven't promoted the email in a long time, but we did randomly get a good one that I thought Brooke would love to weigh in on.
Yay.
And me too, of course.
Yippee.
Should we just get into the email? I feel like I cut you off in the middle of the sentence because you got me excited about the email.
No, I feel like the people heard me. I know they did. So let us know what we should do this
Halloween
season.
Halloween maxing. Oh, I had something to say.
What?
Yes, I have been in the comments as well. And I don't know if it was two videos ago, but the top comment was like, it is not nice of y'all to assume that somebody is pregnant, and I have to agree. Like, why would you say somebody's pregnant if they haven't said they're pregnant? Rude.
I will say, I did not want to like,
personal bubble is here. Asking someone if they're pregnant is popping their personal bubble.
I will address it here first because it's the first time that something like that has like it was kind of like a stomach drop moment for me two episodes ago of people being like, I can tell Brooke's pregnant, calling it here first. Like, Brooke is pregnant. Like, I just know it. And I know that there's absolutely nothing but excitement, joy, good vibes. Like, there was... And I appreciate that so much. Like, as someone who's walking through like a fertility journey that's very sensitive and like very, it's been a sensitive experience for me so far. I know everyone is sending me good vibes and I am so grateful. But as someone who can speak on it a little bit, there is such a sad feeling when someone guesses that you're pregnant when you're hoping to be and you're not at that point. And there is such a sadness of being like, oh, I'm so sad that I'm letting you down. Like, I'm so sad that like you want that for me and I can't give you what you're expecting. And, you know, because I know everyone wants to be joyful with someone who's like, and it's such a beautiful thing, like wanting to connect with someone who's like, you want to celebrate with people. And I think that that's so beautiful, but you never know what someone's going through. So I would really encourage people to kind of like keep your prayers, you know, and your hopes, maybe just be considerate of the fact that you never know where someone's at in their fertility journey. And assuming things like that can be like, it can bring up a lot of feelings without you meaning to. So just think before, and this isn't just towards me. This is just generally in everyone's life, because like I've had, you know, throughout this journey of mine so far, like there's people who are like if I say like, oh, I don't want to drink, and it's like, oh, is there something you need to tell me? It's like, girl, like, no. And yeah, like,
I just don't want to be hungover tomorrow. Yeah,
like,
actually.
It's one of those things. But I'm here to report that I'm not. And when I am, I will let y'all know. And I will be so excited to celebrate with you guys. But at this
that'll
moment,
be
I'm
a
not.
Party.
That'll be a party.
Yeah, I have personally not been through that journey, but I've seen secondhand through Brooke and then other people in my life that for a lot of people, it's a very sensitive subject, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very personal thing. Yeah, it's a hard, because our audience is so loving and kind, and I think they're all well-intended.
100%.
It's the same thing when you're like, when you tell someone, oh my God, you look so skinny.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, did you think I looked fat before? Like, things like that that are so personal that could so easily trigger someone back into like a bad mental spiral. It's a hard line.
Well, and I honestly like...
But those comments did make me sad for you because I know you read every single one
well,
of them.
And listen,
like, oh no.
And I didn't even know if I was going to say anything about it, but it was kind of on my heart too when it was happening, because like I can feel the intention of every single person that... I could feel the intention was so kind and excited. And like, mm-hmm. I know that there's people praying for me and I can't even tell you I can't even tell you like what that means to see comments like that of being like, I'm praying for you. And like, I see it on, like, those are so beautiful, but I'm more so wanting to bring it up a little bit. Like in your day-to-day life, if you're someone who knows that there's someone in your life that is trying, or maybe like, you know, they want kids and they don't have kids yet. And you're thinking that it's like, I guess wanted to bring it up a little bit. Cause it's for some people who are blessed with like getting pregnant fast and like it's no big deal, you think that it comes across as like a casual comment, and more so in like your day-to-day life. Like when you're checking in on a friend, you're like, you know, making passing comments. Like I had someone recently, I was at a wedding and someone said, it was a person I had met for the first time. Like I didn't know them. They were just kind of like sitting at the table my husband and I were sitting at, and the guy looks at me and he says, like, oh, you married such a great guy. Like, why are you holding out and not making him a dad yet? Like, what's the holdup? Like, he's going to make such a great dad. Like, you need to hurry that up. And it came from a good place. Or like a girlfriend of mine, I had been married maybe like 5 months, and she was like, I had not seen her probably in 7 months at that point, like 6 or 7 months. And I, you know, she had been drinking and we ran into each other. We were getting like dinner and she enters the room and she goes, ugh, like, why aren't you pregnant yet? Like, when are you going to make me an auntie? And she said it's well-intentioned. Like everyone's saying these things, it's nothing but love. But when you're on the receiving end of it, it is hard to articulate the little cuts and the little wounds that are inflicted. And so as someone who has people who are listening to the Blondies talk, I hope that hearing someone's perspective on the other end of it can encourage you to just be cautious before you speak about the topic to people, because you really don't know what people are going through on the other end of it. And that is my soapbox. Thanks for listening.
Mic drop.
Mwah. I love y'all. There's no hard feelings. I also want the record to show there are genuinely no hard feelings to anyone who's ever commented. Ever. Because I know everyone means really well.
Mm-hmm. Mwah. Yeah, I think it's just a good reminder.
Yes.
Be sensitive to the people around you.
Yes.
If you know anything about me, I have in the past outed myself as being a full-blown sugar addict, which is why I have been obsessed with Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon just figured out how to turn treats into something you can actually feel good about eating. You may have noticed that it is all the rage right now. Everybody is obsessed with getting in more protein, more fiber, and this is an easy and tasty way to do so. Magic Spoon treats have amazing macros with 12 grams of protein and 7 grams of fiber. They have only 2 to 3 grams of net carbs, making them great for those of us who are being more carb conscious. And the best part of all, 0 grams of added sugar. They have the best nostalgic dessert-coated flavors like marshmallow, chocolate peanut butter, and double chocolate. They are perfect for taking on the go or crushing that late-night sweet craving. It is a rare snack that is indulgent enough to be fun, but functional enough to eat at any time of the day. You might know Magic Spoon for their iconic cereal. Their high-protein, zero-sugar cereal brings all the childhood nostalgia with none of the sugar bomb. Each serving has 12 to 14 grams of protein and between 0 to 2 grams of sugar, so it actually keeps you full and energized. They've got classic flavors like fruity, frosted, cinnamon crunch, cocoa, peanut butter, and more. Magic Spoon is easy to find. Just look for Magic Spoon at your local grocery store, and they just rolled out treats nationwide at 7-Eleven. And if you haven't tried them yet, check out Magic Spoon's new protein pastries, a high-protein, low-sugar take on the classic toaster pastries you grew up with. You can get $5 off of your next order, including the protein pastries, at magicspoon.com/hearmeout. That's magicspoon.com/hearmeout. For $5 off, and thank you so much to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode. The title of this, To Break Up or Not, Please Help. And when I got that, I knew it was going to be good.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Hi, girls. Love you both so much, and I never miss an episode of my comfort show. I need some advice badly. I, 30 female, came across a hidden photos album on my boyfriend's 35 male phone. What I found was that he saved very explicit videos of women pleasuring themselves and pornographic content. What I also found was him recording a random woman from behind without her knowing and zooming in on her butt while he was at work. I confronted him and he admitted to it all. He gave the excuse of a man temptation moment, taking over while admiring that woman's butt in the video. He said he doesn't know why he recorded it and that it was the only time he's ever done that. Later that day, he came to terms with himself and said he would go to therapy to help him fix whatever he's dealing with. I feel like I am stuck in a nightmare. I have the biggest ick and now I have trust issues. We also live together. I don't know if I should forgive and see if therapy helps him or if I should leave having to move back home to a toxic parent household. We've had plans on getting married in the future and I was sure he was my soulmate.
Oh, you're right. I do want to weigh in on this.
I think finding out that somebody watches explicit videos is far different than them taking a video of a woman in public without their consent. Like, I think those are having personal videos that he has recorded. Like, if you just found out, okay, my boyfriend gets on the hub sometimes, whatever, I think that is far more approachable than realizing that he has this underlying creepy side to him that is powerful enough for him to pull his phone out and take a video of a woman in public.
Oof, there is something very...
Because that's non-consensual.
Yes.
In every way.
It's really inappropriate. Especially in like a work setting. It's just inappropriate on all fronts. I think the other problem is he knows it's wrong, obviously, because he's hiding it in his phone. And so I think that there's also a level of deception there where you finding it is the only reason he stopped. Like, it's not like he had this self-realization and then was like, oh, upon reflection, I'm realizing that this is messed up and I should go address this with a professional. That is not... It looks like not what the situation was. It looks like he got caught, realized that you were going to take action and then was like, you don't have to do that. I'm going to go handle it. I'm going to go handle it and go get therapy. And the reality is it's like, I think, oh gosh, you're in such a tricky situation. Did she say how long they'd been together?
No, she said that they live together though, which makes it even worse. I had an experience, which my mom might get mad at me if I say this on the internet. However, I'll keep it very anon. When I was a kid, I had a friend who me and my other friends would go to their house a lot and, you know, we would play at their house and it was all fun and dandy and all of our parents were friends and it was really cool. We thought they were great. Then the dad of this person gets arrested because he had been caught taking videos under girls' skirts at the mall on the
Valvoline Instant Oil Change presents Wisdom from the Road.
Summer means wide open spaces and a whole lot of extra miles. The last place you want your engine to give out is halfway to nowhere. Out here, low oil or a weak battery is just an ambush waiting to happen. That's why every oil change at Valvoline Instant Oil Change includes an 18-point maintenance check. These techs are trained to help spot issues early and keep you riding easy.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Change wisely.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Glitter. And then when all that gets unfolded, because in my experience, people like that don't necessarily always change. It's kind of just something
it's
dark
like a character
inside them.
Defect. Yeah.
Yes. And it's so much different than saying like, oh, my boyfriend's addicted to watching corn. Because that's something that you could work on. But having the desire to, against somebody's will, be like, oh, I'm going to take a picture of their ass in public because I feel like I have the right to do that. Then it becomes a huge thing, especially when if you have kids and your kids are involved, it puts your parents, like my parents especially, were like, we had no idea that we were sending our kid to this person's house who maybe isn't a safe person. And come to find out, back to what I was, sorry, camera malfunction. But then once my parents found out that this wife who had known that her husband had creepy tendencies, then it kind of falls a bad look on her as well.
I think it's a matter in this situation of escalation, because it's one thing to have, you know, to watch. If in your relationship you have decided that watching adult content is not breaking any sort of boundaries between you and your partner, which I do think, and this might be an extremely hot take for people, but I don't think that it should be as like assumed as it is. Like, I think that like there should be a conversation between you and your partner on whether or not that's cool between the two of you, or whether or not that's a boundary that you don't want crossed. I think that as
I agree,
100%. We have gotten, specifically in Western society, I don't really know, like I can't really speak to like the global population, but definitely in like Western dating scenes that I have been a part of, that I've heard about, it is so casual the way that people consume, men specifically consume that content. And there is so much research backing up how detrimental it is to the psyche, specifically the male psyche. It's really not, it's not chill. Like, and I'm not talking from like a religious or moral standpoint. I'm strictly talking from like a psychological standpoint. There is a lot of data to back up how harmful watching excessive amounts of corn, if you will, impacts your brain. And I think that this is like a good indication of someone who isn't coping well with that content, because it's one thing to consensually watch two consenting adults who have posted something on the internet for money, essentially, or whatever they, whatever, fun, I don't know.
Yeah, it's, and if that's a thing that's okay in your relationship, then there's no right or wrong answer, as long as both people are on the same page.
And then there's the concept, or I guess the issue of taking it a step further and treating the world around you as something to be
sexualized.
Exploited, really, because you're exploiting this woman, whether you intended to or not. This man is exploiting this woman who is not
and
in
she
any
had no
way
idea.
Is not in any way, shape, or form consenting to that type of content being made of her, to be thought of in that way. But really, what the problem is it's one thing to have a fleeting thought. You recognize this woman's beauty, you have a thought, it's a fleeting thought, whatever. Memorializing that content to then use it for your own whatever purpose is later on, and saving it to your phone, I think is an indicator that there could be some sort of escalation that could lead to a deeper problem down the line. And I think that that really needs to be considered. Now, I'm not an expert or anything like that, but kind of like Morgan, your story, it's like, it doesn't like that. This is how the story starts, right? You find like a picture of a girl walking in a pair of like tight jeans, and then you never know how it can escalate. And obviously you don't want to assume, but at 35 to be emboldened like that, to go out of your way to kind of create your own content for your own use is, I don't know. I don't know.
It might be a deal breaker for me.
If you're not like, well, you're, because you're not married to him. Like, this is
you're not married to him.
And I think that, Can I get an off soapbox for a soapbox for a second? Another one, if you will. I think that people forget what the dating stage is for. The dating stage is for vetting a person on whether or not you want to be with them long term. And long term doesn't necessarily need to mean marriage. I think in today, like, that is typically like what people think of, but it's long term. You are not committing yourself to this person in perpetuity because you are dating someone. You are dating this person to get to know them. That is the purpose. And I think people forget that. People think like, well, he is my boyfriend, so like I have to be with him. Incorrect. You have
incorrect.
Not.
You incorrect. Do not have any legal documents to say that.
You have not made the decision to bind yourself to him legally or spiritually, if you will. You haven't made that decision yet. You are not morally or legally bound to this person. You can walk at any time. And I think people need to be reminded of that. Women specifically. If this is red, yeah. I'm sorry, this is red flag behavior. This is behavior that could constitute very easy, justifiable reason to end a relationship. That is something that should be genuinely considered. I don't think that you need to consider this person as your husband or your life partner, like, because they're not. I don't know. I feel like people forget sometimes. Like, girl, if he's a walking red flag, or if like you're finding out something about him that like is, it could be a problem down the line, this is the time of your life and the stage of the relationship where you can go and you don't have to justify it to anybody. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I will say it's a little trickier when you live with somebody.
Right.
My advice would be to kind of start making an exit route. Like, if your plan is to break up with him, make an exit route before you escalate the situation and get into like a fight about the entire thing where then you are on your ass and don't have anywhere to go. Because how horrible would it be to break up in the heat of a moment and then you're stuck on your ass and you don't know where you're going to go or where you're going to sleep. So I would start in your mind, or maybe if you have good friends around you in your area that you live at, maybe start scoping around if there could be another better living situation. Because I know you said you don't want to go back to your parents. So maybe start planting seeds in your, this might have to be like a more long-term thing than just breaking up. Because when you live together, you don't want to just be put out on your ass. So I would start in your mind thinking of what is your plan? Because the best case scenario could be you break up with him and then you already have another living situation ready for you. So then you're not going through a breakup and having to find a new living situation.
Absolutely. Like, prioritize your safety. You want to protect yourself over everything. 100%.
Mm-hmm. And you always want to know that you're going to have a place to land. So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel
go with your
differing
gut.
Ways about like talking to your friends about your relationship. But if you know in your heart you don't see yourself long-term with this person, say you've come to the conclusion you want to break up, this is when you start planting the seeds of, my long-term plan is to break up with this person, but I am going to need support and I'm going to need help. And once you start talking to people, it's amazing how doors will open. And maybe there's someone that's looking for a roommate, or one of your friends that needs someone to move in a few months. So yeah, I would start prepping long term, but I wouldn't have a catastrophic fight before you have somebody somewhere else to go.
Yeah, go about it smart for sure. Mm-hmm. I also think too, there's something to be said about a woman's intuition and just like a gut feeling in general, man or woman. I think if you're quiet with yourself and like really honest, you'll know the right answer. And I just think that like sometimes the hardest thing you can do is be honest, like in a moment like that, where like you might know what you need to know, but like it might not be what you want to do. I would say like my advice in that situation is to just really get honest with yourself, because you know the guy better than anyone. You know, we obviously don't know him, but like you'll know if it was like a fleeting mistake or a deeper issue, I think.
Yeah,
better than anyone.
Ooh, prayers up, sister.
Prayers up. Yeah, I don't like that.
That is a tough cookie. Well, I'm sure it's so devastating too, because I think a lot of women go through the breakup in their mind before they actually do the breakup. So from reading your email, I can imagine that you're in a place where this catastrophic piece of information has been revealed to you, and now you're kind of mourning the person that you thought you knew, because I'm sure the person that you thought you were dating would never do something like that. So and I'm sure it's very high emotions. And
have you ever gotten the ick from someone and then been able to un-ick? Or once you got the ick, it was over for you?
Oh, I can un-ick anything.
You can un-ick?
See, this is, I can bounce back from anything. Maybe not. Okay. Not anything, not anything. As we know, I forgive and I forget.
I love that though. I feel like I have like a high threshold for ick. Like I don't get the ick easy, but when I do, it's like a, it's a done deal. Like, but I don't get the ick easy. Like I'm not one of those people where I'm like, oh, I saw him drop something and pick something up and now I have the ick. Like I'm not in that. Yeah. My sister Reese can get like that. She's like, yeah, one time I saw a guy jump a little too like excited, and then I got like the ick and I just couldn't. I'm like,
there was an episode in Earl Meets World where Ash and her sister's trying to get back into dating because she hasn't dated anyone, and her friend were going through the icks, and she said, oh, I just hate when a man has a backpack or a man purse, and the man shows up to the date with like a big old man purse, and it cuts her confessional, and she's like, this is why I can't date, because it's just too much. Well, it has been a joy and a pleasure to virtually sit with my friends.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed our FaceTime call.
I almost feel as though you're here, though.
Time call you guys were a part of. That's what it
hopefully
felt like.
You
I was so excited to talk
session.
To Morgan. I kind of forgot halfway through that we were filming, so if I sucked this episode, I'm sorry.
You definitely did not suck. I might have sucked, but who knows? Let us, we're sure you'll let us know if you think we suck.
Yes, and also, you guys, if you have any ideas on what you would like to see from a virtual episode like this, where we can film kind of on the fly, because we're filming this and then it's going out a couple days later. So if there's anything like time sensitive or like, I don't know, virtually that you think could be fun for these episodes that we film when we can't get together, please let us know. Y'all are so creative. So we're open to suggestions.
We can actually talk about hot topics like this, because sometimes we'll film things and then it doesn't come out until 5-6 weeks later. And then the nachos
AKA
are dry.
Our
so
absolutely
dry.
Absolutely god awful Bryce take that we put out in the love. We like talked
like,
about Love Island after the
looks
first
like dry
episode,
shampoo.
And everyone's like, I already know your opinion has changed since you filmed this. We're like, shoot.
Yeah, the benefit of this is we can be more up to current date. The con is I don't get to sit here with my friend, which I do love. There can be both.
There's going to be both, because my ass dose. Will be back in your house, whether you like it or not. And you're coming here in October.
I mean, the chair is ready for you.
Oh, do you miss me in that
Next
chair?
Next time you come, the chair is feeling a little empty, but you know, we made it work.
It's okay. It's absence makes the heart grow fonder.
It really does. Can't wait to go to the haunted house with you, Chris Berry. I'll be waiting.
Well, you guys, I guess see you next week.
Yes, yeah, see you next Friday and every Friday after that. Love you all. Bye
guys.
Until now, the data your AI depends on has been trapped behind ever-increasing cloud fees. Wasabi created Hot Cloud Storage and is redefining cloud storage for the AI era, delivering simple, predictable cloud storage for AI, analytics, media, and more. Your data is free to move, fast to access, and ready when your AI needs it. Hidden fees add up fast as AI workloads grow. Wasabi's flat pricing eliminates all of it. One rate, no surprises. Learn more and try now for free at wasabi.com. Wasabi, the AI storage cloud. Proud partner of the iHeart Podcast Network.
Real value shows up in reliability you don't have to second guess. Like a set of Firestone all-season tires. They're designed to deliver confidence-inspiring wet weather traction and a quieter ride, no matter the road, season after season. Firestone all-season tires. For durability you can count on, just like people count on you. Firestone. Always dependable since 1900.
Your social media feed delivers plenty of advice, but it doesn't know you. It doesn't ask questions. It doesn't give physical exams or order tests. Doctors do. At the American Medical Association, we believe the best care starts with a real conversation with someone who understands the science and your unique health. So stay curious, ask questions, but when it's time to make decisions, make them with a doctor. Learn more at AMAHealthVersusHype.org. That's AMAHealthVSHype.org.